Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we look at and listen to the world. And this is April 16th, 2024. And we are going to start off with a quick look about, you know, at the cosmic dance for this week. But mostly, of course, what we're going to talk about is that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which means they're sharing the same astrological space. And so it really is something that astrologers have been waiting for. We've been talking about, you know, we've been touting this for some time to come. And I'd like to just really get deep into that. But I don't want to forget that this is also the week that the sun moves into Taurus. That's going to happen on Friday, April 19th. So happy birthday to all those Tauruses out there. We're not forgetting you. And in fact, with Jupiter and Uranus both in Taurus, this all goes together. You know, we'll be talking a little bit about that. But I do want to say happy birthday to all the Taurus, you know, people out there. And maybe next week we'll give a little more love to that sun in Taurus. But there's just so much to say about Jupiter and Uranus and some things I'd like to go into. And I apologize right now if I get too geeky, you know, too astrologically geeky, because I can just feel myself doing that. You know, in my head, I'm going, oh, and this and this and this and this. So, but one of the things as I do that, what I'm hoping is, in a sense, to stimulate your thinking. But maybe more than anything else, I want to say that there's some real takeaways from what's going on this week with Jupiter and Uranus. And it's really takeaways about astrology in general. And one of those is that, you know, things don't happen according to a time clock. In fact, Mo often says that. He says, planets don't punch a time clock. So sometimes when you listen to this show, or I hope you listened to Mark yesterday, he did a great show and was talking about this as well. But, you know, we get this all built up, like on Saturday, this is when it's going to happen at 7:27 in the evening Pacific time. And oh my gosh, these amazing things are going to happen. Well, as I will demonstrate, hopefully today, when I really look at, you know, I literally look back and said, okay, what was going on the last time Jupiter and Uranus came together? Now, on Mark's show, he actually looked back at the last time they came together in Taurus, which was like in the 1930s, I believe, or 1940. But in any case, I'm looking at when was the last time they just came together, which was in 2010 and 2011. And so, you know, as I started peeling that back, truthfully, I was starting to look at my chart and go, oh my God, I see all these correlations. So the take home is this, you know, stuff happens and often we don't even know it's going on. As I'll talk about, some of the things that were going on in 2010 for me actually didn't have me involved in them. They were decisions other people were making, but they had a huge impact on the decision making that I was going through. And so, you know, don't look at it as like, oh, they said all this big stuff going on Saturday and nothing happened. Well, I can assure you, the planets, they don't make things happen anyway. What they do is they reflect mass consciousness. Now, how they do that, I don't know. You know, sometimes when we look at this metaphysical, esoteric information, like the tarot cards, why are they so good at really showing us a situation? Well, I'm just convinced we can use any tool, any kind of omen, anything, you know, a raven flying over my yard can be a message to me if I'm in the right frame of mind, or if I'm just saying, you know what, I'm open to guidance. I'm open to being led. So this isn't so much about what you are doing on Saturday, although you could certainly, if you, you know, if you're one of those people, you could, you know, do a little ceremony or you could set an intention. But this isn't just a one-day event. This is two planets coming together, meeting up in their separate orbits and sharing the same astrological space, which basically means from our perception on Earth, it looks like they're sitting right together. Now, of course, spatially, they're not together. I don't even know. Are they millions of miles apart? But they look to us like they're both sitting in the part of the sky that we would identify as 21 degrees of Taurus. So as a reflection of mass consciousness, we can start dissecting that. What does Jupiter mean? What does Uranus represent? What does Taurus represent? But overall, we're probably looking at the beginning of something or something gelling, something coming together, and we may not even know what it was for years to come, you know, unless we're just kind of looking at it at every single moment. So number one, don't get your expectations that this is all a Saturday event, because I don't really think it is, but it is the beginning of something. Sort of like when we talk about planets coming together or the new moon. You know, the new moon every 29 and a half days, the moon and the sun are sharing the same astrological space. And so it's a new beginning. And oftentimes we can look back and go, hey, yeah, I know what was going on the new moon. But do we know it at the time? Maybe not. But every time we have two planets come together in what we call astrologically as a conjunction, then it's actually a new beginning. Just like two people coming together and having a baby. Astrologically, cosmically speaking, they're getting together to produce something. Now, can we predict exactly what is going to, what's going to happen in our lives? I'm going to say no. I think whenever you get into predicting, especially with Uranus, it's the planet of the unexpected. It's a planet that shatters expectations. It moves beyond limitations and restrictions. It doesn't act according to any of the other planets. In fact, they call this is the planet that moves sideways. This is a planet that is unexpected. And that's why it gets that reputation or that association in astrology. So it's not so much about prediction. But the other thing, and I'll talk about this more, is what I recognize in terms of my own life about what was going on for me is that it was a dream that I had had for a very, very long time. You know, maybe like even since childhood, you know, a dream of what my adult life was going to be like or how I was going to spend my time. So if you'd asked me, what are your dreams, or when you were 5 years old, what did you think you were going to do? That would have been one of my dreams. And so as I look back on it, some of the things that happened in 2010 and 2011 led me to doing exactly what I'm doing now, which is being a full-time psychic advisor, which includes doing a lot of writing, which I love to do. I always wanted to be a writer. And being able to do this work full time, which quite honestly, I never thought that was going to happen. I mean, I just thought, oh, this will always be a side gig. This will always be something you love and you do it in all your free time. But don't even go to that place of thinking that you could do this full time. I mean, I wouldn't even allow myself to believe that. But now as I look back on it, I see how everything conspired to make that true for me. Now, of course, I had to hop on it, right? So I'll explain some of those things. And if I start getting too geeky with the astrology, you guys can certainly say something in the chat room. But that's the takeaway also, is that as you look at it, like I would encourage you to look at your own charts and say, where is 21 Taurus? So what is that house about? You know, is that in the third house of communication? Is it in the eighth house maybe of windfalls, you know, financially or esoteric information? Is it in the ninth house of higher education? Is it in the 10th house of career? Where is it going on for you? However, and this is where I'll get kind of geeky. If you look at the whole picture, what happens may or may not actually look like it's happening exactly in that house, because it may be the way those two planets are connecting to other planets in your chart. And it also may be a combination of what's happening in your chart in general, which is what, you know, what keeps me always interested in astrology. It's like pulling the threads. You know, you don't just have this flat picture of, okay, Mars means action. Mars means inspiration. But you start combining all these different associations into a puzzle. And how does that puzzle, or how does that picture start evolving for you? And to me, that's fun. I guess I wouldn't particularly like something that was just totally predictive and going, this is what's going to happen. And astrology certainly is not that. So let's start talking about some of this stuff But if you do have your charts, look at 21 Taurus. You might also look, do you have other planets at 21 of any other sign? Because those are the ones that may be impacted by this energy. And it is going to unfold over months and maybe even years in your life. But if nothing else, just be expectant. And so, in fact, when I looked at this energy, automatically it came to me, the movie Field of Dreams, because this is our personal field of dreams. Build it and they will come. In the same way, I didn't become a full-time professional astrologer by one day just waking up and saying that was what I was going to do. I had actually spent years studying and then years, you know, of, in fact, I'm trying to think, I must have been doing astrology as a, you know, a side job for, I think, almost 20 years before I met Mark. You know, I mean, it was a long time. So once again, this was a long time thing coming together. Now, that being said, if you become aware of something in your life and go, you know what, this is where I really want to have a breakthrough, this is where I want something to happen, then start doing it. I'm not telling you that it has to predate whatever is going on Saturday, but I'm just saying this is our field of dreams. And if we're willing to act on it, then it happens. You know, build it and they will come. So as we look at this particular conjunction, I'll remind you what these planets are about. Jupiter is the giant. He is the biggest planet in the solar system outside of the sun. And so he represents everything big, abundance, you know, joyfulness, being jolly, expansion, abundance. But of course, size isn't everything. And in this particular case, I want to really emphasize this. This isn't so much about winning the lotto or all of a sudden getting a huge promotion at work, even though those things could happen. Jupiter is about growth. And growth, I think, directly related to meaning in our lives, value in our lives. So when you say, I'm lucky, or I've really expanded, there's a different level of saying it's not just about big, it's about having quality. I mean, think about the home that you live in. You know, sometimes it's not the size of the home or how many rooms you have, it's the quality, it's what it feels like to you. So you may move into another space that's actually smaller than the space you had before, but you feel richer or you feel more abundant. You feel more like at home. And that is Jupiter. It's about finding meaning, not just more, more, more. You know, more of something that isn't quality doesn't really, you know, fulfill Jupiter. And, you know, I all of a sudden realize I haven't invited you into the chat room over on Facebook. And just as a quick aside, I will say I have been playing with it. I still haven't quite figured out why I keep getting a message that says that I have violated their standards. But one thing that it does look like to me is most of the time I can actually see your comments. But what happens is it sometimes won't let me respond to you. So I'm gonna keep going after this and figure out what is going on there. So if, you know, and like right now I see a number of people in there and I want to say hello to you. Hey, Kat, thanks for being here today. And Jennifer Lakshmi Dove, thank you for coming into the chat room today. And Leslie and Marina and Renee, thanks. And Quilly, I see you too. Thank you for coming in. So, but if I don't respond to you, then don't get your feelings hurt, because it's when I hit that like button or I try to write something that sometimes then I get the message from Facebook saying I'm in violation. So I'm going to figure this out. But for today, thank you so much for coming into the chat room. And, you know, do, you know, go ahead and post things there and hopefully I will see them even if I can't write something back. And if you do post a question that I feel like I can answer during the show, I'll certainly do that. So that is open, and please come on in if you'd like to do that. So back to Jupiter. You know, I think of Jupiter as the cosmic storyteller. So think about that. That's how we string the ideas together. Now, and you know, if I was telling a story and you were telling a story, it might sound very different, because we're going to both latch onto or remember different pieces that are important to us. the ones that are going to just, you know, to perk our interest, or the ones that we know are going to stick with us. So when you think of Jupiter and you think of that growth, think about how you put the pieces of a story together. How do you tell your own story? And Jupiter is also involved with things like social involvement. You know, we associate Jupiter with rules and laws because how do we string our collective beliefs together about what society should look like? It's about religion and theater and publishing and higher education. But generally, think today especially about Jupiter being how we find more meaning in our life. How do we seek out those pieces? How do we go after truth? And how do we put them all together into a necklace? How do we put them together into a belief system, a personal philosophy? That's what I want you to think of. So ultimately, when we're able to do that, then we feel hopeful. We feel, you know, joyful. We feel lucky. Because it's sort of like Jupiter can become that kind of key. Now, oftentimes we're always looking for another key, or maybe we've got a key and we don't know what the lock is, but Jupiter is that kind of feeling within us that you can never, you know, that you just can't eradicate hope. No matter what happens, it's going to bounce back. That's Jupiter. Now, what happens with Uranus? What do we do with Uranus? Well, it's also about social issues, but in a different way. Uranus, once again, is the rule breaker. It's what shatters our expectations, shatters our belief systems, shatters things that, because, you know, we're going along with Jupiter, thinking about this way, you know, you're studying, you're learning all these new things, and then you learn something and it doesn't fit with the picture. Well, that is Uranus, because Uranus says, how are you going to incorporate this? You know, how are you going to move through this? And so we may have to shatter that philosophy. We may have to change that belief system in order to incorporate new information. But more than that, Uranus is the force of self-awakening, self-awareness. So even though a lot of times, you know, Uranus can be one of those planets that just has a bad, you know, reputation, because people go, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, it's kind of, it might be similar to the Tower card in the Tarot. You know, we get that card and we go, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? But the truth is, and the truth is for me, that oftentimes something in the immediate moment that looks tragic, or that looks, oh my God, this is not what I planned, this is not what I wanted, can turn out to be the avenue. It can be the motivation for making a turn, a change that ends up very positive, which is exactly what we're talking about here. Putting that Jupiter and Uranus together and taking even things that we would not have planned, things that we would not have, you know, in a sense, embraced in our lives, we wouldn't have imagined them, and figuring out how they're going to turn us in a new direction that's going to be positive. But this is about self-awareness, you know, not getting stuck in the rut, not getting stuck and not being able to see whatever else is outside. And you know, here again, even though Saturn is really about responsibility, I would see Uranus is too, because if we can move away from somebody did this to me, you know, somebody is, you know, whatever, somebody is doing something to me, and really understand nobody's doing this to me except me. I'm the author of my story. I'm the person who's having this dream. I'm putting the pieces out there. And there again, not beating yourself up for it, but just saying, I always have the opportunity to become more self-aware. What does this mean? What can I do with it? So Uranus is a higher vibration, oftentimes people think, of the planet Mercury. So Mercury is thinking and connecting the dots, but Uranus is this lightning quick ability to leap into an insight, to leap into a revelation, and start putting those together. You know, Uranus is associated with lightning bolts. It's associated with electricity. So it's not even this plotting, moving from one thought to the next. It's revelation. So now let's talk about how often and what does it look like when Jupiter and Uranus come together? Well, on average, it's every 14 years. And there again, you know, part of me says, but, you know, Jupiter goes around the zodiac every 12 years. How come it's not 12 years? Well, you know the answer to that, I think. And that's because there are retrogrades. Sometimes these two planets are actually retrograding together, sometimes not at all. So by the time we get, so on average, not every single time, but on average, they'll come together every 14 years. And for perspective, the next time they're going to come together is in 2037. That's the next time. So we don't need to go there, but it's a ways away. So as we look at these, you know, like I said, what I wanted to do is I thought, I want to look and see when was the last time they were together. Now, not in Taurus, but just when was the last time they were together? And it was in Pisces. And the way this one worked, because of the retrogrades, they did come together three times. So the first time they came together was in June of 2010. So once again, if you're looking at your own history, or you want to start, you know, maybe you've got diaries, or maybe you just want to start a little notebook and say, okay, what was going on in the summer of 2010? But then both of those planets retrograded. And so then they came together again when they were retrograding in September of 2010. And then by the time they both got out of their retrogrades, they came together again at 27 Pisces on January 4th, 2011, to complete the pattern. So there again, especially as you look at this one, you need to look at really that whole six-month period from June until January and see, you know, what are the events? What was going on for you? And or what were the things that were going on then that actually had an influence on you? And I am giving you this detail because I want you to kind of look at your history. And if you're interested, if you're not, that's perfectly okay too. But, you know, as you look at it, you know, what are some of those things? How has your life changed as a result? What was the baby, in a sense, that you created or that came into your life at that point? It was funny, Kat was talking about all these pregnancies in her life in terms of clients and friends and all of that kind of thing. And yeah, it is spring, Kat. You know, I can definitely see why that would be coming about. But maybe it is in kind of response to this building energy between Jupiter and Uranus. And by the way, I believe, I've run the charts back and forth. I think this, in this particular pattern, I think this is the only time they come together is on Saturday. Because it looks to me like through their retrogrades, etc., Jupiter will pretty much outstrip Uranus and they won't come back together until that 2037 deadline. So as we start looking at this though, you know, what is happening and look at your own chart, and we're not going to know exactly how it's going to unfold, but that's the fun of it. Just looking for it. Where is that burst of energy that is likely to be turning the wheels of the things that will affect your life? And, you know, if you need help with that, obviously I'm available on One2Listen. There's a number of other astrologers on One2Listen, and or that it doesn't even need to be an astrologer. I mean, truthfully, you know, if you're just looking at for advice in your life or to figure something out, you know, it doesn't have to be related. Somebody doesn't have to know exactly how it's going to be related to Jupiter and Uranus, okay? I mean, you know, lighten up about that for sure. But I just wanted to say, if you're interested, you know, always remember 1-2-listen.com is there for you, right? The advisors on 1-2-listen or any advisors that you have in your life. So now what I want to do, I do want to spend some time, and I am changing my screen here so that I can look at it live. And I want to talk about my chart. And I hope I'm not just being too self-centered here, but it's the easiest thing for me to, you know, to have a grasp on. And yet that's kind of ironic that I'd say it, because even if you had asked me a couple months ago, okay, you know, what was going on for you in 2010, 2011? Now, I certainly would have been able to tell you, but what I wouldn't have been able to, I wouldn't have remembered that Jupiter and Uranus were together. And so I'm kind of telling you that too, because, you know, I don't look at my chart that often, truthfully. And the other thing is, I'm always on to the next thing. So what I have remembered that Jupiter and Uranus were together, I wouldn't have. I just want you to know that. So I go back and I look. So as I was thinking about that, oh my gosh, I knew exactly what was happening in terms of my life. But I want to emphasize as we talk about this, that it's not just Jupiter and Uranus. Like if I look at my life and say, and you know, basically I'll just set the stage. I had been an astrologer for at least 20 some years, loved it, spent almost all my leisure time, you know, my weekends, my evenings, doing charts, you know, really enjoying metaphysical, you know, family kind of stuff. You know, I had met Mark Hessen in I think, well, actually at the turn, I guess around 2000, maybe even a little bit earlier, I'd met him and knew about the store, et cetera, and then started working for him very part time in 2007, started writing for him at the end of 2007, but I was still very entrenched in a, you know, what I call a corporate job. I'm not sure that's quite fair. I worked as a researcher in a hospital. And I, you know, I'm very aligned with health and with hospitals. And, you know, kind of thought, oh, I'll be a nurse, I'll be a doctor. But none of those things were ever right for me. And so I was more the administrative type. But I was very entrenched in a job that I had had for almost 30 years as a researcher in a hospital. And the truth is, I love that job, but I also loved astrology. And if you had said, well, what's your ideal life? What's your dream? I would have said, I want to be in astrology. I want to be able to do that full time. But in my own mind, and this goes back to Uranus, in my own mind, well, serious people don't do that. That's not what you do if you're a serious person. And there again, I'll say, I'm going to throw out some stuff. And like I said, I might get really geeky. My Chiron, you know, which is where our fears are, where our doubts are, it's in Capricorn. And I say that with a little laugh because Capricorn wants people to be serious. So that little voice in my head, those doubts, those fears have to do with, you've got to be a serious person. You can't just go off and say, I'm going to be an astrologer. You can't go off and just say, hey, I'm going to fly by the seat of my pants. You have to have a real job with a paycheck coming every 2 weeks, you know, that kind of thing. And so I was loving and very entrenched in my hospital job. But I saw it coming to an end. I mean, I had a particular date that I was going to retire. And I say that in quotes because I wasn't ready to retire, you know, from working. I was reaching a point where I'd kind of hit some of the important markers at the hospital in terms of benefits and retirement packages and all of that. So I had my dates all set. And by the way, as an astrologer, I also said, ooh, and Saturn, the planet of work, is going to move into my 10th house, the house of work, and I'll have a Saturn return. So that's when I'm going to leave. So I had this all planned out. It just seemed perfect. Well, then comes 2010. And at the end of 2010, the hospital where I worked, and by the way, I love that hospital, but, you know, things happen. They had made several administrative financial decisions that they needed to make. Like, for instance, they were so good to their employees that they had basically promised anybody who worked a certain number of years and was a certain age, if they wanted to retire, they would literally continue to pay their health insurance until they were eligible for Medicare. Now, how many places do that? You know, not many that I know of. So this was a hospital. This was a place that really took care of their employees. And I wanted that benefit. And I was like right there ready to get it. You know, I could retire. You know, I could leave and get that benefit. They also had some other things going on in terms of retirement packages and also, compensation. Well, in 2010, they basically kind of had what I call a come to Jesus meeting and realized they had so many employees that were taking advantage of those particular benefits. Because, by the way, nobody ever left that hospital. I mean, there were employees that had been there 20, 30 years. They had so many long-term employees because why? They did good work and they took care of them. So nobody was leaving, or rather they were leaving. They were, you know, aging out, so to speak, and taking those financial advantages. And the hospital finally realized they couldn't keep making that promise. They couldn't make that commitment. So literally, they had pulled together some information in 2010, knowing that they were going to make those changes. And so here comes 2011, the first week of January. Well, guess what? They start making those announcements. And they literally contacted me and said, you are one of four people that will unfortunately be impacted by this decision, because we can, as of today, we can no longer do this. And so quite honestly, of course I was disappointed. These, you know, the couple of things that they were taking away were things I was waiting for. I was banking on those. Those, you know, and in some ways it felt like they pulled the carpet out from underneath me. And yet I understood. I mean, I totally understood. But what happened is, of course, that very much felt like Uranus. And it wasn't my decision. It was their decision. But it left me in for a couple of weeks just going, okay, what now, what now, what now? And thinking, you have built this whole retirement plan, your dates and everything around Saturn, blah, blah, blah. And now the factors have changed. Life has changed. So I really want to emphasize that, because here again, it wasn't a terrible thing. And I totally understand what happened, but it wasn't to my benefit. And not only was it not to my benefit, but it was benefits that I had counted on, benefits that I had planned on. But what it really did is it said, you've always waited to be full-time doing the work that you really love. You loved this work, but you have been ready to move on for a few years now. So why are you waiting? You don't have anything to wait for anymore. They took away the toys. They took away the carrot dangling out there. They took it away. And so literally within 2 weeks, I think I just said, okay, I'm leaving. And I wrote my letter of resignation in January. Now, I didn't leave right away because I had been there. I supervised a lot of people. I didn't want to, in a sense, pull the rug out from underneath them. So I, you know, didn't leave until May 5th. Which, you know, was good because it was Cinco de Mayo, and I said, it's my personal liberation day. But that gave me the months to tie up the projects that I was working in and, you know, get everything reestablished. But the point is, when I look back, I realized those decisions they made were in 2010, the end of 2010. And then I realize it by, you know, the first or second week of January, and then make a decision based on that. So if you look at it, once again, interpretation, a lot of people, I mean, I remember people going, oh, this is so unfair. I can't believe they're doing that. And I'm like, you know what? I can't go there. This is my opening. This is my opportunity to push forward and do something I've said I've always wanted to do. Now, is it scary? Yes. But this isn't about blaming where I was. This is about, and here again, the tower. It's about going, hey, let's pick up the pieces and see where this opening is going to take me. Where is this going to go? But as we get back to the astrology, here's some of the factors I want you to think about or to understand. That Saturn, you know, I thought I could control Saturn sitting up there in my 10th house. And the truth is, it had just barely gotten there or was kind of going back and forth over my 10th house cusp. So that's the other thing I want to say is, you know, even as an astrologer, I said, well, this is going to happen when I have my Saturn return. Well, guess what? It didn't. As soon as Saturn really hit my 10th house cusp, which controls work, boom, something happens. But it wasn't just Saturn. It's the combination of all the things going on. So I'm going to tell you some of those combination things. So that Saturn, sure enough, was entering my 10th house of career. But that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction had basically, both those planets had just gone over my sun, because I'm a Pisces. So see, there was that energy. Think about it, Uranus, self-awareness going over my sun, the planet of ego. And those were in the third house, by the way, of communication, right? And see, that's it. If you'd asked me when I was five, what's your dream? I'd say, I'm going to be a writer. You know, I, you know, and I was, I mean, the truth is I was a writer. I wrote in my job in research a lot, but as you, many of you know, I write things for Mark and for the power, you know, Mark's Power Peak, but also, you know, as soon as I had left that job, I also took on a number of writing projects, helping other people, either ghostwriting or editing or doing it. So it's like, it was so much fun. I mean, all of a sudden I felt like I was a real writer. And so that did happen in my third house of writing where my son was. And so that is one manifestation. But here, the other thing, you guys know I'm into inconjuncts. Well, inconjuncts are when planets are at such an angle that there's kind of an impasse. Well, guess what? Uranus and Jupiter, when they came together at 27 Pisces, they were making an inconjunct to my own Saturn. So my own Saturn sitting up in the 10th house of career. And so when I say that impasse, I think that's it. It created a situation and said, this one isn't doable anymore. There's something else that has to happen. So, and you know, sometimes I feel like that happens. Some people are really good about just hopping on to new opportunities. Well, I sometimes am not that person. But I think Uranus and Jupiter said, okay, CA, we're creating an opening over here. And by the way, you don't have a choice because this situation is no longer viable for you, you know, for whatever reason. And there again, it was just psychologically, I'd wanted to leave for a few years and I was hanging on to a couple of things. So when those carrots got taken away, then I knew that it was really time to leave. But Uranus and Jupiter coming together very close to my sun in the third house of writing, communication, networking, that sort of thing, and then creating an impasse with my own Saturn in the 10th house, there again, you see that too. So it wasn't just Uranus and Jupiter. It was what they were doing. They were making that in conjunct with my Saturn. But I also had transiting Saturn going through my 10th house. So if you see just those things alone, that's pretty impactful. But I want you to know that, see, it's this combination. But also, as I look at all the things that were going on in January at that time, or really coming together, you know, I also had Mars, the planet of action. Well, he literally crossed over into my fourth house, which means he was opposing the 10th house career. He did that on May 3rd, and I left. I left my job on the 5th. So there again, you know, it's like, and I don't remember now, did I actually time that? Did I look at Mars and say, hey, I want to do it when Mars crosses? Or was that just the date that I came up with? I can't remember. I actually think, though, because I was trying to close out a number of projects, I think I was, you know, I chose a date based on when it would be the most common sense to close out the projects, to transfer those to other people, etc. So see, Mars was doing something at that time. And then also Mercury and Pluto were moving into a square with my fourth, 10th house axis. So see, I had all this energy, you know, transiting Pluto, transiting Mercury were doing that as well. And so that was another energy going on. And for those of you who know a little bit about progressions, well, I looked up my progressed moon and sun, and guess what? My progressed moon, which always, when I look at somebody's progress moon, and I almost always do that when I read for somebody, I check those progressions, the moon and the sun, because the moon tells me, where is your immediate attention? What's the format? What's going on for you? And I'll tell you, it's almost never a miss. That moon is going to tell me what's going on in their psyche, what's going on for them at this point. Well, my progress moon, believe it or not, at that time was in Pisces, 2 degrees off my natal sun. So see, once again, a really heavy hitter, as far as I'm concerned, the progressed moon was sitting right there, conjunct my natal sun. And interestingly enough, my progressed sun was sitting in Taurus on top of my Jupiter. And Jupiter's expansion. And by the way, in Jupiter in my chart rules my Sagittarius ascendant. Okay, so are your eyes glazing over? Are you going, okay, enough of this? You know, too much geeky astrology? I don't know. But I just want you to know, I mean, and I could go on and on and on. I've got a whole list of things that were going on, literally between especially January to May, that made this almost inevitable. So if I had asked another astrologer, what do you think is going to happen? My guess is they would have looked at all that and said, are you leaving your job? You know, they probably would have been able to predict it. Yet, you know, I didn't quite see it coming. I was sticking to my plan, which was, you know, I wasn't going to leave for another year and a half. So I just wanted to bring up those things because that's part, and you guys hear it. You know, I'm excited. I love how astrology, there's all these themes. It's not just one thing that happens. You know, it's rarely that. You know, in fact, if I see something that I can't really tag with something else, you know, I'm not seeing any other trend, then I may not even take it quite so seriously. And not that it's not serious, but, you know, you don't blame planets and you don't look at them and just say this one planet did this thing. But once you start looking at the pattern, then you can unravel it and see all how it's coming together in your chart. But even more than that, you know what I want to say is it's also retrospectively, you know, retrospectively, it's really easy to see how all this stuff comes together. So before I have some more stuff I just want to talk about how we can really harness this energy. But I'm going to take a look at the chat room. And I do see, let's see, Tara Elizabeth is saying, Taurus is in my third house of communication, and I too have been honing my skills as a reader for 20 plus years. Perhaps it's time to expand on that. I'd say absolutely, I think it is. And there again, because it's the field of dreams, you know, I want everybody think about it. What are your dreams? But I would say just like for me, when that Uranus Jupiter came together in the third house of communication, it expanded what was already there, my dream. And so Tara, I would say absolutely. I would certainly look at that. You know, what kind of connections do you want to make or how do you want to use that? You're absolutely making a good decision there or looking at it. Now, you know, you may also look at other things in your chart. I don't know if you do a lot of astrology. I could certainly help you with that too. But yes, see, your field of dreams is coming into existence there. So yes, I see a big yes for that with it in the third house. Let's see what other people are saying. Hello, Quelly and Alisheo. And she said, I almost didn't make my internet was, your internet was wonky. Yep. Hey, and you're glad to be listening and thank you for being here today. I appreciate that too. Okay, and Tara also said, my relationship started in 2009, engaged in 2010, and married in 2011. So that time was all about setting down my love, growing together instead of on my own. Yep, see, absolutely. So once again, when I say retrospectively, it's so much easier to see it that way. When we can lay it all out, just like this and go, okay, on this date, this happened. But know that even if you don't feel or see or think about anything going on Saturday, it doesn't mean that it's not going on. But if you want to set an intention for yourself, then these are some, you know, I called it in the Power Peak my recipe for harnessing Jupiter's conjunction with Uranus. And this is what I'd say, that, you know, as I look at everything, because here again, do you realize Saturn and Mars and Neptune are all sitting in Pisces right now? And Mars is conjunct both of those planets on either side of it. And so Pisces is about dreaming big. Pisces is about creativity, imagination, you know, and creating something on the metaphysical plane so that it can come out on the physical plane. You guys have probably heard me talk about Emmett Fox. He wrote a little book called The Mental Equivalent. And if you've not ever seen that, I think it was written in the 40s or something. If you can get a hold of it, it's just this little almost pamphlet kind of book, little tiny thing. Can read it in, I don't know, 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. But he talks about the mental equivalent, saying that before anything happens on the physical plane, there's always a mental equivalent, mental architecture, something behind it, something is supporting it. That's what Pisces is about. You know, creating the dreams, starting to weave things together. And Saturn is the disciplinarian. Saturn is able to do that. So during this conjunction, which here again, if we look at the chart, it all stays in place, right? It infuses itself in this particular pattern. We've got Saturn, Mars, and Neptune all hanging out together in Pisces. But they're also, Mars is sextile, which is one of the positive connections between signs and planets. It's sextile Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. So see, to me, that's also a very powerful thing that says, whatever our mental equivalents are, whatever our dreams, that is what's happening. I mean, it is our field of dreams. Then, you know, but link that to whatever your passion is, you know, and I know I throw that word around a lot, and sometimes I don't even want to use it because it's like, oh, follow your passion. But you know what? It can be a really simple thing and just say, yeah, what really gets your juices flowing? What gets you really saying, oh, I really do like this? And you don't have to explain it. You don't have to defend it. Just recognize it. Like I said, in my life, I was actually in some ways denying myself because I was, even though I was doing a lot of astrology, like I said, I did it in all my spare time and on weekends and evenings, etc. To me, it was like a joy. And it was kind of this little secret thing. It was my little joy, and somehow I didn't think I deserved to be able to do it full time. I mean, when I really look at it, that's kind of what was going on. Now, like I said, though, I loved my other job, you know, very mental, very rational job. But I didn't think in some ways I deserved. I mean, I didn't deserve to be one of those free spirits who got to do astrology all day long or got to be that kind of person working for themselves. You know, I couldn't imagine that was possible for me. That was a dream for other people. It wasn't going to happen for me. Now, why? I don't know. I blame it on that Chiron Capricorn, which isn't fair either. But that's it. What are your passions? What are your dreams? Because this is about dreaming big, not only with Jupiter and Uranus, but it's with that Saturn and Mars and Neptune sitting in Pisces going, okay, guys, what is a mental equivalent? What do you want to create here? But there's a couple of other energies that come in for me. One of them is this energy of kind of going within yourself and really trying to get rid of distractions so that this isn't about following somebody else's dream. This is about yours. Like I said, without defense, without excuse. And when all is said and done, you know, when you're just within yourself, what is it you want? What is it that you would really like to manifest? And I, you know, in some ways, I think this is a hard one because now maybe this is me because I'm a Pisces, but sometimes it's hard to separate our dreams from somebody else's. And we don't recognize that, you know, we're following along because that makes somebody else happy and that makes us happy. But sometimes you just have to quiet things down. You have to take that rest. You have to take that time out to really know what is your dream. Because this Saturn Uranus, and like I said, just like for me, it could actually come about because other people make decisions and decisions that you may not like, or things happen that you may not initially like. But I want you to keep that expectant attitude because this is an opening. This is a huge opening that's coming. So for those who are willing to walk through it, and here again, I could have stayed at that job. You know, I mean, I could have easily stayed there 10 more years even, you know, maybe even longer, but I wouldn't have been as happy. I mean, that's just the truth. I wouldn't have been as happy. You know, like there again, I needed something to look forward to. And I think I'd always looked forward to this idea of retiring and being an astrologer. Well, I got that opportunity early, you know, and it's like, was I willing to walk through the door? So, you know, spend that quiet time. And it doesn't have to just be on Saturday. I want to emphasize that. It doesn't just have to be on Saturday. But just say, you know, what is the dream? What is the voice you're hearing? Build it and he will come. What is the voice that you're hearing? What is your unique passion? spend some time, allow yourself to hear that voice. The other thing is, so here, I'm going to put it in these terms. I think we have all the capability of doing this. I truly do. And you know, another movie that I thought about was Back to the Future, because there's a point at which, if you remember, you know, there were three of those movies and they were using some kind of plutonium or uranium, I don't know what it was, to power it. Well, by the third movie, he's putting garbage into the fuel tank. And, you know, Michael J. Fox is like, what are you doing? And he goes, well, things have evolved. Things have changed. Well, see, that's Uranus. But the other thing is he's flying. And he even says, the doctor says, where we're going, there are no roads. We don't need roads. So see, once again, you know, I know sometimes we can't see this, but dare to dream big. Dare to say, you know what, things are going to be different where I'm going, and I don't have to live by the same criteria. The rules have changed. With Uranus, the rules have changed. So believe your passions and, you know, are your guide. Believe that. They're the roadmap to where you're going to go. And be willing to turn your life upside down. And I know that's a hard one, but if somebody, and somebody else may turn your life upside down, you know, like I said, other people making decisions, but be willing to do that. Put your life upside down, inside out. And I'm also not saying be radical, but if you feel really led, you know, by your passions, by your creativity, then be willing to shatter some of those expectations. Because Uranus doesn't wait for an invitation. He just moves. But the other thing is, sprinkle this whole process liberally with discipline to stay on track. That's our gift of Saturn. Because we need to pour this energy into a mold, or we need to channel it in a productive way that's going to get us where we want to go. Saturn is our friend. He's the organizing principle. And see, he's right there in a supportive relationship and moving into a supportive relationship, you know, as he continues to go through Pisces to Uranus in Taurus. Now, Jupiter's going to move right on, right? But Saturn, as it continues its orbit through, you know, its transit through Pisces, it's going to continue to be there. Then the other thing is, going back to Jupiter, share your experiences and your stories with others. You're writing a new story. And you may not know what it looks like. Just like me, I'm telling you a story that's what, 10, 12 years old, right? Maybe even, yeah, I guess it's 14 years. It's 14 years in the making. So share your experiences and your stories. Continue to build the stories. Be the Jupiter storyteller. Be the historian. Okay? All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like I've only been talking for 10 minutes, but that's not true. So everybody, thank you so much. I really hope you enjoy this energy. And I look forward to your stories. I want to hear what kind of stories you come up with, and maybe your insights and revelations based on things that have happened to you. If you go back and look at 2010, 2011, and what's going on for you. So thanks so much for joining me today. Thanks to, you know, for persevering in the Facebook chat room. And sooner or later, maybe I'll get this all figured out so I can really respond to you in the way that I'd like to. Thanks to our producer, Jay Barvell, for being here today and keeping us on track. And I hope that you will stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio. We're changing the way we are embracing Jupiter and Uranus at 21 Taurus.